Hey everybody, this is James Wilson with MTB Strength Training Systems and BikeJames.com, and welcome to another edition of the MTB Strength Coach Podcast. Been, I guess, about a little over a month since I got one of these out, so been pretty busy since then with my RKC certification and then Ranch Style and then just summer getting going. And so anyways, the podcast got put on the back burner for a little bit, but I am back on top of them. So got a couple things in store for you today. First up is a review of my RKC, my Russian Kettlebell Certification weekend, and some of the lessons that I learned and took away from that. So, you know, really it took me about 4 weeks to kind of decompress from that weekend. It was pretty intense. I highly recommend it. It was an awesome experience, but definitely had to get a little distance between me and it to fully appreciate everything that I picked up from it. And then second, I've got a book review, and you know, like I like to tie books that have nothing to do with mountain biking into mountain biking. And this one is called The Compound Effect, and it's a really good book that I just finished recently. And so I think that there's some good lessons for all of us in there. So anyways, hopefully you guys enjoy this podcast. So let's get to it. All right. So this podcast training tip is kind of a recap of some of the lessons that I took away from my RKC certification weekend. And I want to say, you know, first and foremost, it was a really great experience. I got to say what they got going on there is awesome. I really love their philosophy. You know, some of the stuff, especially do less but do it better, which is one of the points that I'll address here in just a second, but really ties in line with a lot of the direction that I've been going with the programs in my training facility and the things that I've found to really work well with people in the real world. So I'd highly recommend, if you get a chance to do it, you know, checking it out, or at least their HKC, the Hard Style Kettlebell Certification class, is also a good option if you're not ready for the full-on 3 days of swings and snatches and presses and stuff. Although it was a great weekend, really enjoyed it. But you know, to get going with the lessons and some of the things that I took away from it, first and foremost, one of the things that I really took away was the use of breathing and connecting breathing with your movement. And you know, it all starts with command of your breath, and if it's off, then everything's going to be much harder. And this is really illustrated for me when, you know, on day three of the weekend, you know, we'd been doing swings and all sorts of stuff. I mean, I must have done 1,000 swings over the course of the 3 days there, but you know, the more I did, the easier they actually got. And one of the things that really helped was the breathing. And I noticed that when it started to get hard, if I went back to my breathing and I connected my breathing to the movement, that it got much, much easier, and I was able to, you know, sustain my intensity much longer, but yet maintain the quality of the movement, which was the important thing. So, you know, I've kind of found in working in my facility that if you force yourself to breathe correctly, it's actually going to clean up a lot of your movement. It kind of forces you to move better as well. So the breathing is a big thing. I've got a video on my blog at bikejames.com that you can check out that goes over the breathing, you know, kind of how to match your breathing up with different movements and stuff like that. But the next lesson I took away was the use of tension. And you know, strength is just maximizing your use of tension and maximizing that tension. And one of the big things that they really emphasize is the use of what's called irradiation, and that's where you're using tension from, you know, muscles that aren't directly involved in the movement to assist with the movement. And so, like, probably the best example for this is to make a fist and squeeze as tight as you can, then relax your fist and then squeeze it harder, but this time get your forearm tight as well, and then, you know, relax and then get your forearm and, you know, make your fist, get your forearm, and then get your bicep tight too. And then next time get your shoulder involved, and you know, eventually you keep working your way to where you've got your, you know, your core, and then even all the way down into your legs involved, and you'll feel that every time you add in an extra set of muscles into the tension equation, that your grip actually gets stronger. And so that's that irradiation principle. A really easy way to illustrate it is through the use of that example. But with movement, it's just being aware that you want to use tension everywhere you can. And so you need to be aware of places where you're not creating tension, because one, there's potential instability there. It's a potential injury, and it's also not assisting with the movement. So, you know, being tight, like what they call tough love, where they'll come up and they'll smack you around, you realize real quick there's tight and then there's really tight. And most people just kind of live in tight, you know, tightsville, so to speak. So you want to get really tight. The next lesson was, you know, using corrective exercises to help you feel what you're missing on the bigger exercises. And, you know, this is something that I've actually been doing a lot in my facility before I went. And one of the things I really like to see how they incorporated this, but, you know, basically see what you do wrong and then do something that forces you to fix the problem so you can feel the difference, and then apply that feeling to the regular movement. And so, you know, there was a lot of times when they would call people up to the front and they would say, all right, now here's the exercise, now do it. And then, you know, people would do it, and then they would point out, okay, well, you know, this is off or that's off. Now here's how we can correct that. And then they would go into a drill that would have them, you know, either, you know, basically correct the movement, do it right in some way, and then feel the difference, and then go back to the regular movement. So, you know, for example, for people that scoop their knees on swings, like when they're coming out of their bottom position, they push their knees forward first and then try to stand straight up out of that bottom position, putting a board or something underneath their toes so that it dorsiflex their ankles, then that already, you know, sets them back and takes that dorsiflexion potential out. So now when they do their swing, they can't scoop their knees forward, and they have to come right out of the bottom using their hips. And so it forces them to do it properly, but you don't want to do that all the time. That's not how you want to execute your swings. So once you get the feeling for it, you take that board away, and then you make your swings feel like that. So that's basically, like, you know, use of corrective, the proper use of corrective exercises. You know, corrective exercises get a bum rap because, you know, a lot of times they're not really used properly by trainers. They're kind of thrown in randomly, and not with a real purpose. And so, it, you know, if you don't really understand, like, what are you trying to correct? What movement are you trying to correct? And then how are you going to correct that? How's that going to, you know, transfer over? Then, you know, you're going to run into problems. And so that's basically how you want to do it. And, you know, like I said, a lack of understanding of these is one of the biggest problems with, you know, in the fitness industry today. Either people that don't know any corrective moves, and so they just let bad movement go because they really don't know what to do, they don't know how to fix it, or people that have way too many corrective moves and everything's a corrective exercise, and you're just trying to correct everything to death. So, you know, not really what you want to get out of that. Another thing that they emphasized a lot was, you know, make the start hard and the finish will be easy. They must have stated this about a dozen times, so it's something they really wanted to hammer into us. But, you know, get set up strong and make your first rep your best rep, and the rest of the set will be easy. And, you know, again, this is something I preach all the time in my facility, that if you don't get set up strong, then there's no way that you're going to have a strong set. You're not going to find what you need after you start moving. So get set up right, and you know, take that time to really emphasize that, and make your start hard. You know, make it tight, make it hard. Don't look for an easy start, and then your finish will be easy. So, you know, that's one of the things that they really emphasize a lot. A couple more things is, you know, having a standard and don't compromise it to protect, you know, or to get a number or to protect your ego. You know, they have a list of standards for the basic exercises, and they weren't going to let those standards, you know, deviate just because somebody wanted to protect their ego and you know, make excuses for why they needed to do it another way, or to get a number, to, you know, to press a certain amount of weight, or to get a certain number of reps. And so they were really on us, you know, as we fatigued, to don't deviate from the standards. Don't start to change how you move just because you're getting tired. And they would, you know, get onto us and stop us if we did. So that was a, you know, really big thing that I took away. Like, you know what your standards are, and don't compromise them for anything, you know, especially to protect your ego. You know, a couple other things, second to last thing I have on my list here is quite a few things I had written down. start with an empty cup. And what basically, when you go to something like this, like the RKC certification or like another mentorship group thing or certification, like basically, if you walk in there thinking that you already know what's up, and you've kind of got some stuff in your cup, so to speak, then you're going to risk them not being able to fill your cup up with everything that they have to offer, and you risk missing something that might be valuable. So, when you go to some place where people know more than you do, like go in with the empty cup. Empty your cup. Don't assume that you know anything. And be open to learn what they have. You know, did I agree with everything? Am I doing everything, the way that they do it? No, there's definitely some things that I think differently on, and I kind of have some different applications and use some different methods than necessarily a hardcore RKC person would. But, the main thing is when I walked in there, though, I didn't have the attitude of, I know some stuff already. And every time that I would get a correction or they would make a suggestion, my initial reaction a lot of times was like, to make an excuse and be like, but, I understand that can be the initial reaction, but, you got to swallow that and, just say yes, sir, and do it and see what happens and reserve judgment for, afterwards. So anyways, I thought that was a really important lesson. And, finally, do less stuff, but do it better. And, again, the whole RKC culture, so to speak, revolves around just a few basic exercises: your kettlebell swing, your Turkish get up, your goblet squat, your clean, your snatch, and your press. So you basically got six exercises, and the entire RKC universe revolves around those six exercises. And so it's all about doing those things as well as you can. And even the variety, the assistance exercises, so to speak, are focused on enhancing that and enhancing those basic things. So, cutting out a lot of the superfluous stuff and just really concentrating on the basics. And, I like one of the things that they have in their manual is there's a quote that basically alludes to how variety gives the sense of false progression, because when you change up and do something new, then you have, you're mentally engaged on what's new, and you're, maybe generating some new soreness or feeling that you didn't generate before. And so it gives you this sense of you're making progress again because you're getting better with an exercise and you're whatever the case may be. But the idea is that you're not actually making progress. Making progress is sticking with the same thing and forcing yourself to figure out, okay, now that I'm kind of bored with this, how do I get better? Like, what am I not doing as well as I can that is holding me back with this, with this thing, with this exercise? And so, zeroing in on that is where you really start to make progress and true strength lies. And so variety for variety's sake is completely overrated. So that's something that, I've said before, is, something that the RKC definitely emphasized. So, it's something I definitely think that most of us would do well to embrace. There's a lot of us who want to be, pretty good at a bunch of exercises instead of excellent at a few exercises. And, the second way is definitely the better in my opinion. So anyways, those are the basic lessons that I took away from the RKC certification. Some of the stuff just really, re-emphasize some things that I've kind of found in my own experience and things that I'm doing in my facility. There were definitely some things like the breathing that I realized I wasn't even anywhere near clued into how powerful that was. And that's definitely made a big change in both my own training program and how I'm training people now. So there were definitely some things that I took away from it that were, big ideas for me and things that really are going to change how I program and work with people moving forward. So overall, it was a great experience. And so again, highly recommend it if you get the chance. So anyways, but hopefully some of this stuff has been helpful for you. Some of the lessons that I've learned, you've got some things that maybe you can use in your own training, some of these things have resonated with you and given you some ideas for ways that you can improve your own training and results. So hopefully you guys have enjoyed this training tip, and I will talk to you guys in the next one. For this podcast book review, I want to talk about a book I just finished reading called The Compound Effect. And The Compound Effect's by a guy named Darren Hardy. He's the editor of Success Magazine. And in it, he talks about the secret to success in any endeavor. And I really like the book for a couple of reasons. One of the reasons, even though it definitely has kind of a business slant to it, it talks about how this compound effect affects, you know, fitness and relationships and all sorts of other areas in life. And so, you know, it's really applicable to pretty much anything. And what the compound effect is how small positive steps towards your goals add up over time. Like basically, if you're doing something that moves you in a positive direction every day, eventually you're going to get some pretty impressive results. And, you know, the best illustration for this, most people have probably heard this illustration. You know, if you're asked, what would you rather have, $1 million today or a penny that doubles in value every day for 31 days. And most people that have heard this know that the smart answer, you take the penny, because even though you got $1 million on day one and only a penny on the other side, because that penny doubles and then doubles, that doubles and then that doubles, and that's, you know, it's just compounding every day for 31 days. And eventually, by the end of the 31 days, you end up with a sum that's quite a bit larger than just $1 million. And so, you know, that kind of illustrates what this compound effect is and kind of the mindset that you have to have, that you may actually start further behind, but because you're consistent with your efforts, that over time you're going to overtake, you know, someone that may have started out ahead of you. And so, you know, how does this apply to riding, right? And that's really what we try to bring it all back to. And what this does, this really puts the I want huge results right now mindset into perspective. And I think that a lot of us get spoiled in the first, you know, few months, 6 months to a year of riding, where it seems like we make these huge strides almost every week. You know, we were making these huge fitness strides, all, you know, we're able to ride stuff we couldn't ride the week before, and then we start upgrading our ride. Most of us don't start out on the best bike possible, and so you get that first big performance upgrade, and you know, man, that makes a big difference. And so we kind of get spoiled by thinking that it's going to be that easy forever, and then we run into inevitable wall where we're not progressing like we once did. And so, you know, we need to shake this I want huge results now mindset in order to continue to progress. And I think a lot of riders get frustrated if they don't see huge immediate results from a training program. And so, you know, again, it's not being realistic and keeping in mind the long term, that, you know, if you're going to be mountain biking for years, then you kind of have to think along those terms when you're thinking about your training program. So, you know, you don't have to train, you know, 2 hours a day, you know, 4 days a week, in order to be a good mountain biker. You know, do what you can, you know, even if it's something simple. So say you've got two riders that start, you know, riding at the same time, and they've got similar fitness and skill levels, and, you know, one rider decides that, you know, he's going to do a few mobility and core training exercises. He got off this really cool site, bikejames.com, and, you know, he's just going to do these, you know, a few days a week, along with some basic stuff like track stands and cornering drills, just, you know, just for like 10, 15 minutes a couple times a week. So we're talking about like maybe an hour or less time investment each week. And, you know, another rider, the other rider too, he decides he's just going to try and ride more and try and fit in an extra hour of riding when he can, you know, which isn't as consistent as you would think. You're definitely not able to be as consistent with fitting an extra hour of riding in as you would be with being able to fit in your, you know, a few mobility and core training exercises. So, you know, after a few months, the difference might not be noticeable between the two riders. But after a few years, I mean, rider number one, the guy who's been doing the mobility and the core strength stuff, you know, he's definitely going to be stronger and more injury resistant thanks to that increased mobility and core strength. So, you know, it may take a year or two before these differences really start to get big, but they're eventually going to happen. And now, I mean, if you're doing, you know, a more hardcore program than just doing a few core training and mobility training exercises, then obviously you're going to speed that whole process up. But you know, the point is that if you're moving in a positive direction, even if it's just a little bit every day, eventually it's going to add up to some big things. And so, I mean, this applies to so many areas in life. So, I mean, that's one of the reasons I highly recommend checking the book out. You know, really, you know, you'll finish with a really good mindset on, you know, what it takes to put things in perspective to achieve success long term. So, which is really what it's all about. I mean, life is a pretty long game. And so you got to remember that it's not about just the next six weeks or even just this year of riding, that, you know, you've got years and years and years of riding ahead of you. And so keep that in mind when you're trying to figure out, you know, well, you know, do I want to keep training or not? You know, maybe I wasn't seeing the hugest results in the world, and so maybe I'm just going to, you know, put that time back into riding or something like that. But when in reality, you know, if you're moving in a positive direction, even if it's not, you know, as much as you'd like, just keep it in perspective. And so hopefully you guys have enjoyed this, you know, giving you some food for thought on ways that you might be able to apply some of these things to other areas in your life and stuff. So, you know, hope you guys enjoyed this book review, and I will talk to you guys in the next one. All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of the MTB Strength Coach Podcast. If you got any questions or comments, please visit me on the web at bikejames.com. You can post your comments at the blog post there for this podcast, and I'll get to them as soon as I can. Also want to remind you, if you haven't had a chance to check out my new Trail Rider Fundamentals mini course, it's the free mini course that you can sign up for at my blog at bikejames.com, or you can visit mtbskillsandfitness.com and find a direct sign up page there. But it's a great little video mini course. It's going to give you a bodyweight workout routine, some skills drills for cornering, and also a good combo drill to build the high tension cardio strength that you need to do well on the trail. So it's definitely a great value, and I give it away for free. So you can again find it at my blog at bikejames.com. So make sure you sign up for that if you haven't. So once again, it's been James Wilson with MTB Strength Training Systems, and hope you guys have enjoyed this podcast, and I'll talk to you in the next one.